Central Tuesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canuck Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. A lot to get to today on the program. Canucks practicing in L.A. They will play the Kings tomorrow and then the Ducks on Thursday. Jonathan Davis, host of Ice Cap on SiriusXM, will join us. And then Ian McIntyre will join us after 5 o'clock from Los Angeles. Says he was the one who had the quote that went viral across the hockey universe yesterday and over the last 48 hours, and gave us a lot of content for Monday, I will say.
Yeah, at the same time, like, I'm so sick of talking about the same things over and over again in different ways, you know, the same conversation being had in different ways. And I share the frustration a lot of people have about being tired of hearing about it.
Yeah, so I tried to change my mindset a little bit. I watched Max Scherzer pitch for the Blue Jays today.
Pretty good.
That was weird. Yeah. Man. It was like cool, but weird. I was like, man.
Yeah.
Max Scherzer pitching for the Blue Jays? That's fun.
And he's still like an animal in spring training, too. Yeah. Like, he's so intense.
He had 4 Ks in the first 2 innings pitched as a Blue Jay. And wouldn't you know, he doesn't like the robots that are trying to figure out the challenge system in Major League Baseball these days. But this is not Blue Jays Central. It's Canuck Central. Let's hit the open.
Welcome to the Open.
Four! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
The Open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest is still wondering about Quinn Hughes, as he did participate in practice today, was said to be a full participant. Thomas Drance of Canucks Talk saying as much. We just heard from Rick Tocchet, but he was not asked, at least in what was made public by the Vancouver Canucks, was not asked about Quinn Hughes' availability for tomorrow. So we wait about that. But if he's a full participant in practice, I would say he is very close to returning to the Canucks lineup, which would be a very welcome sight, Sat,
yes,
because this team needs a little bit of offense right now. They've played a couple of games since they came back from the Four Nations break and have been only able to manage a couple of goals. And, you know, I keep looking at the forward group and saying, you know, this is really lacking a little bit of extra punch, especially when you think about, again, Elias Pettersson, but what else do they have there? And really, the more I thought about that, the more I started to wonder, like, as we get closer to the trade deadline, like, who are the real staple pieces of the Canucks lineup, of the Canucks roster right now?
I mean, it's interesting when you look at it as, okay, there are guys who are under contract, and there are guys who you would look at as young players who should be here long term. But if you look at veterans,
mm-hmm,
how many veterans do you feel are part of the solution with this team?
So,
like true vet, like true part of the solution players. And so Hughes, obviously, is number one.
Quinn Hughes is the easiest answer. Filip Hronek, I think, has showed as much.
I'd hope Pettersson and Lankinen, after giving them contracts that are 5 and 6 years.
You mean Marcus, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Marcus Pettersson, yes.
Marcus Pettersson just signed a new contract. So yeah, I was just being an ass, really. Marcus Pettersson and Kevin Lankinen, they just signed new contracts.
So that's
so
4.
They're a part of the future.
Right. And probably not going anywhere anytime soon.
Both, well, certainly Lankinen got a no trade clause, and I believe it's going to be a no move clause when the contract kicks in next year. So there's that. Other recently acquired players, Filip Hedl, Drew O'Connor, although O'Connor's only 2 years.
Yeah, so I mean, it's 2 years, and he plays a lower lineup. So I'm talking about solutions as in, like, guys who can be core pieces, you know? And as much as, like, Kiefer Sherwood, he has one more year left at 1.5,
yeah,
and there are questions about, okay, like, what is it going to look like contract-wise, and is he more than a bottom six player, which is great. Like, he's fantastic. I'm as big a Kiefer Sherwood fan as there is.
Okay, so is there an argument for anybody other than Jake DeBrusk in the forward group?
Probably not. Because, I mean, Elias Pettersson's, and I don't want to do the Pettersson talk, but he's in trade rumors and all this.
Like, he's not a certainty to be a Vancouver Canuck long term, right?
No, and the more he struggles, the more of a certainty he becomes, because then it becomes even harder to move if you are looking to do so, right? But nonetheless, that you feel like, okay, these guys have performed well, the team is confident in them, and they feel like these are going to be somewhat core pieces or big contributors, at least, for the next 4 or 5 years. It's Hughes, Hronek, Marcus Patterson, Lankinen, and Jake DeBrusk. Hedo has just been acquired, right? He looks terrific, but it's so early in the tenure, we don't know yet for sure how it's going to look and fit long-term.
Yeah. Jury's still out a little bit. I've liked what I've seen, but yeah, it doesn't feel like a guy that's stapled himself to a long-term future in Vancouver yet.
Well, even if he had, like, say, 8 points right now in 5 games, I'd say the same thing, because you have to give somebody a bigger sample. He has to play the rest of the season and then show up next year and see what he looks like. And maybe he becomes a core piece. Maybe he becomes a star, right?
But we don't know that yet. He probably sees out his contract in Vancouver.
Well, this management team has, like, flipped guys before. Would you be surprised if they flip one of these players?
Okay, that's
what I'm saying. So guys like, you're like, okay, like, you know, they've committed to, you feel you've seen enough from, and you feel like are going to be here. And I think this leads us into, this could be a really interesting deadline / offseason, more so offseason. I don't know if, unless they really lose out and things really go haywire, I don't think they're going to take that big of a cut through the roster. But this offseason, because even guys like Connor Garland, for instance, he's entering the final year of his contract.
He's a year away from unrestricted.
You have to make a decision on him soon. So is he going to get a contract extension here or not?
It's crazy that it'll be his fifth year in Vancouver already.
Yeah.
My God, where did the time go?
I know. And the contract looked so bad. It looked bad for a while, was unmovable for a while. Last season, had a strong finish to the year, strong season. This year, he's been really good for the team. But he's also
cold lately.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 9 points in his last 30 games. But all the forwards outside of DeBrusk, and even Besser to some extent. Yeah,
who's
all
not
the other
cold
ones have struggled.
Like right now, it's for the Canucks to get to 3 goals is a minor miracle.
Yeah, well, my guy Sherwood hasn't scored in, what, 19 games or 20 games or whatever?
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
It's been a while since we heard the Sherwood chants at Rogers Arena and those kinds of things. Dakota Joshua just signed a 4-year deal. Are we not convinced that he's here long term?
I'm not convinced, no.
Okay.
I think everything he's gone through.
Yeah, like it's been a tough year. It's really hard to judge Joshua on this year.
But again, like if you look at how this front office has operated.
Yeah.
Carson Soucy played well last year, and this year it's like, we might have to get rid of this guy. You know, like they've moved off guys quickly.
Their cap picture has changed, and now it seems obvious like you could use that money to spend on your forward group, which makes Carson Soucy surplus to requirements.
No doubt, but they've moved off guys they've signed and acquired pretty quickly before.
Well, even Höglander, like nobody's going to sit here and say Höglander is a sure bet to be a Vancouver through the entirety of his contract, which he just signed in October.
No, and this isn't like, I don't want this to be taken as these guys are bad players that have no value. It's more about what is this organization going to do here to become a contender moving forward, and how many guys are they committed to keeping, and how many guys do they view as maybe we were willing to do something around to make this team better?
Well, it illustrates where they are as a team and why they're in the midst of a retool, because you've got a lot of complementary players.
Mm-hmm.
But complementary players are nice to have when you got the guys that can help those complementary players be the complement to the recipe.
Yeah.
And right now it's just like, you know, Jake DeBrusk is doing his thing, but it's not helping the Canucks towards wins because they don't have the guys driving the bus in the way that they need those guys to drive the bus.
Yeah, like I think Jake DeBrusk is terrific.
Yeah.
And he's
for the money you're paying him, sure.
He's been fantastic for what he's supposed to bring, right? But he's not
his production has been better than Brock Besser's, essentially.
He's making 5.5.
He's making 5.5. Besser's gonna be commanding 7.5+.
Yeah, and given where the cap is going and him being a 20+ goal scorer, like he's well worth the contract.
Yes.
Is he a line driving top line player? No. But that doesn't mean he's not a valuable, especially on the contract he signed now, on the production, if he keeps this up with the cap going up, it could be a really nice number for this team, right? But they still need guys to drive. And all of this, again, comes back to the highest paid player on the team. Because if he figures it out, it just solves so many things, right? Yeah. Like if he just becomes the player he's been in the past, everything kind of changes. But you're still looking to make an addition, right?
Yeah.
But if you're making an addition, a legitimate top six addition, it's not going to be cheap.
No.
And you are going to have to do a mix of futures, whether it's picks or prospects, and it's going to have to be roster players.
Yeah.
And if I start looking at guys that don't want to move, it's a very short list. Like, it's not a very big list right now. You would look at and say, hey, these are the guys that they're not open to at least moving.
Well, they don't really have any untouchable players outside of Quinn Hughes.
No.
You know, obviously the guys that they've committed to long-term deals, you're not likely to trade them. That doesn't make them untouchable necessarily. Like, when we use the word and term untouchable, it's, you know, a player that's so good you wouldn't even think about the prospect of trading them.
Yeah.
But you've signed Hronek and Pettersson and these guys to long-term deals, so they are here in Vancouver for the long term. So they are essentially not going to be touched. Not that they are untouchable. But, semantics. You know, like right now they feel like the Predators teams of the last number of years, where it's like, you've got Roman Josi.
Mm.
Quinn Hughes is Roman Josi.
Now all of a sudden,
you've got a decent defense. They had, you know, the Preds for a lot of those years just had Philip Forsberg driving the bus up front.
Yeah.
You know, they had Johansson, who was really underwhelming. They had Duchesne, who was underwhelming to the point that they bought him out of his contract. That's kind of what they feel like. And what were those Preds teams? They were either out of the playoffs or kind of first round losers. You know, and that's exactly the kind of team the Canucks feel like right now, where you've got the superstar on defense that's leading your offense, and that's great for him. He's incredible, but you're going to need more to build yourself into a contender, and that's why you find yourself in this position where so many of these players are interchangeable right now on the roster.
Yeah, and when the trade happened for JT and the team played, you know, went 3-0-1 when Quinn Hughes went out after that Stars game. And in totality with the Stars game, you know, they went 3-1-1, I suppose. But Quinn played that game, left. That's the game he got injured in. But from that point on, they went 3-0-1.
They didn't have Hedl or Pettersson or any of those guys.
Exactly. But you brought those guys in for the next game and they went 3-0-1. The high off the trades, and, you know, it was kind of like that coach's bump, the trade bump happened. Yep. They played well. It made you kind of forget about some of the issues with the forward group, because Hedl was creating chances. They were scoring some goals, right? Defensively, they were good. They were playing with enthusiasm, standing up for each other. Fans were, you know, high off the trades and excited. And then the break happens over the Four Nations.
Yep.
And then a big reality check the first two games back, right? You lose both of them and the offense looks just as bad as it looked throughout parts of the season. And when you look at, okay, who are the guys that they're going to lead you through it? You're like, well, you know, because before it was okay, at least JT was, no matter what you would say about his struggles, he was producing at a point per game pace still.
Yeah.
He was scoring. He was giving you a bottom line and kept you in games. He made a lot of mistakes. He was at fault for so many OT goals. But at the end of the day, like, he was a driver and contributor. You don't have many of those consistent guys. We just went through all the struggles and the streaks, the scoreless streaks these guys have gone through, and how futile the offensive production has been. Now that reality is setting in again, especially with Quinn out. And Quinn coming back is going to help things, but they need that top six forward, at least one. And perhaps you can make an argument for a couple, right? Now, there's only so much you can do in one offseason, and that depends on what you're going to do here with Besser.
Well, you have two big moments here. You have the deadline and you have the offseason.
Yeah, and like, I don't know if that center or forward they want will become available by the deadline for them. Because like we talked about, there are some players that teams might be willing to move, but they're in playoff races.
Yeah.
And that makes it more complicated, maybe in the offseason. But there's a reason that was the organization's chief item on the agenda, and what they're mostly focused on is finding that top six legitimate impact forward. Like, that is the entire focus for this team, as far as if they want to take a step and be more than that Preds team that hangs around the 8-9 spot.
Well, it has to be. You know, like, okay, you got O'Connor. He's a nice complimentary piece. You sign him to a new deal. You got guys like Sherwood. You have Joshua on the roster. You've got Höglander signed up. You got all these guys. Nice. But really what you need is that priority top six impact player. And I don't know where that comes from. It's obviously not here right now. You moved out of Miller. You might be moving out of Besser. It's only going to exacerbate this issue that you need a top six forward. And it probably needs to be a guy who can win you a bloody face off, because as we've noticed these last couple of weeks, without JT Miller, you're not winning as many face offs. You're not winning key face offs. You don't want to put Bluger out there for a late game need to win a face off kind of situation. And even Bluger's numbers, while he's generally been a pretty 50-50 guy in the draw, what are we seeing now? His numbers are coming down because he's having to go out there for a lot more difficult faceoffs that you used to deploy JT Miller for. So that right shot center, it would be the best case scenario that, you know, you get a center with great faceoff ability that is also a top six play driving kind of player. But I don't know if that lives in reality. But the idea of, hey, we could use a right shot center to play in our bottom six, like, I don't know, falling on deaf ears. Like, I don't really care about another bottom six type on this roster. It's very obvious where they need to add, and their sole priority, their sole goal right now should be to add to the top of the roster.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with improving other parts of your roster.
Yeah.
And if the next move they make is like a third or fourth liner, people are going to be like, what about the forward? Like, it's like, yeah, you know, the sequencing doesn't matter, but the biggest thing they need to address is very clear. And they know what they need to do as well.
Yeah.
The question just is, when does that line up? You can't force it, right? Yeah. And it's essentially, we have one shot at it. If you're trying to find a difference-making player, you have one shot at it. Because how many assets do you have to spend big on something?
Not a ton.
It's your one shot.
Yeah.
You have to get it right.
You have first-round picks. You've got Valander and Lekkerimäki, who probably are guys that you want to be parts of the long-term solutions on this roster, given how few of the veterans feel like long-term solutions among the group. All right, Canucks Central Roundup. They practiced in LA today, and a little bit of a jiggling in the forward group. We see Nils Höglander moving back up to play with Pettersson and DeBrusk. And I don't know where this sort of sentiment started, but it almost felt like people forgot that Höglander and Pettersson had played together this year. And had played together not a ton, but I think it's about a sample of about 120 minutes, 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. They've been okay. 7 goals for, 5 against. Some of the underlying public data suggests that they heavily outchanced their opponents. I always, and we always tell you on this show that you should take that data with a grain of salt. So
the context, I mean, it's... Yes, it's fine. Okay, we don't. Yes, but there are some promising things when Pettersson and Höglander play together. Yes.
That's the point, and they're going to try it again. We'll see how long it lasts, because it's not something Rick Tocchet has leaned on as a solution. But I have liked Höglander's game of late. You know, he has had a bit more of that buzzsaw feel to him. He is winning pucks more often, doing some good things. We saw him set up Hedel for that great chance in the first period the other night. There's some good things going on in Höglander's game. Hopefully he can carry that to the line with Pettersson and DeBrusk. Hedel now centering Joshua and Garland. They tried this, I believe, right out of the gate when Hedel first came over with Joshua and Garland. So we'll get to see it again for a little bit longer. So get a bigger sample size on that. And obviously Garland's been struggling. Joshua's game has felt like it's starting to come, but didn't look so great the other night against Utah. Next up, Suter with O'Connor and Besser. I like the idea of contrasting O'Connor and Besser together as kind of a pair because of O'Connor's speed. And so they stick together with Suter. Wonder if that could be maybe a matchup type line, because they're all good defensively. Yeah. And then Bluger, Baines, Sherwood is set up as the bottom line.
Yeah, I know that you guys were giving me grief before the show, and I'm not trying to trade Connor Garland here.
Okay.
But like his fit is a little bit awkward with certain players.
Yes.
Right?
Is it awkward with Hedel?
I think it might be.
Oh, my. So who does Connor Garland play well with then?
Dakota Joshua
on the third line, like,
and Teddy
have your
Bluger?
Own line, Teddy Bluger or Suter, or yeah,
Suter or Bluger as your centerman.
Yeah, they used to be called the JBC line. We don't see them together anymore.
It's all
JBC,
broken up.
Yeah. Joshua, Bluger, Connor.
Yeah.
The JBC line would be a welcomed sight to see, but
I think part of the problem
you lack
is like
wingers.
Yeah, because Garland also plays a lot of minutes, which he should because he's played well, right? But he's not a great fit with Pettersson. Now Pettersson hasn't been a great fit with anybody really, but like Hedo likes to carry the puck a lot. Garland likes to carry the puck a lot. Is that going to work? I think they might have some good moments, but I don't know if that's a solution. There's just a lot of awkwardness as far as like how many duos do you feel good about? That you're like, okay, these guys have chemistry. They're going to click.
Honestly, right now in the forward group, none.
I don't want to be pessimistic, but it's like, you know, I watch every game. I watch every game twice, even the bad ones. And I'm trying to figure this stuff out. And we go through trends. We go through the numbers. And they've had a hard time finding duos that work this year with this team.
And it bears out in the numbers because they can't seem to score more than one or two goals in a game. On defense, Hughes back with Hronek, Marcus Pettersson with Myers, Carson Soucy with Mancini, and then Dee Petey with Derek Forbert as the extras on defense at practice. So that's something to keep an eye on. We've kind of wondered if Hronek would play with Pettersson when Hughes returned, but it looks like they're going to go to Hughes, Hronek, and keep Pettersson, Myers together, even against Pettersson and Myers struggling in these last couple of games since returning from the break.
Yeah, they're sticking with it. And hey, I'm okay with it because Pettersson is new, you know, try to get the chemistry going. And Myers had been steady and he's had a couple tough games, obviously. But I'm okay with giving it some time and getting Hughes and Hronek back together. But if we see any struggles, I don't want to see them just sticking Hughes and Hronek together. We know Hronek is more than capable now on his own pair. We saw him be their best defenseman through these five games without Quinn Hughes, like by far, or six games, like by far their best defenseman.
Even with Derek Forbert.
Terrific. So if you put, you know, Pettersson with Hronek and Hughes with Myers again or whatever, like, sure.
Yeah.
You might even be stronger. I just don't want to see them stick with the same thing if there are some struggles.
Hughes and Myers, as we've mentioned here on the show before, their numbers very similar to what the output had been for Hughes, Hronek, at least from a raw standpoint. All right, a couple more things here before we get to Jonathan Davis, host of the Ice Cap. And most importantly, Brock Besser turning 28 years old today. So if he signs a new contract, it will be at 28. An eight-year deal would take him to carry the 136, if my math is correct on that. And probably the crux of why they are so hesitant to go up to 8 years full max term on Brock Besser.
Yeah, and again, like the Canucks, I don't believe, this is not a report, but I don't believe, based on, you know, reading the situation, that they've gone anywhere near the 6-7 year term, let alone eight.
Yeah. So they're looking more short to medium term.
Yeah, and if they go, like, I would be surprised if they all put like a 7 year offer in front of them. Maybe a six.
Yep.
And we'll see what happens here.
That's interesting. All right. Coming up, we'll get a preview of what is to come with the LA Kings and the Anaheim Ducks, who are kind of creeping into the playoff chase now, all of a sudden. It's coming up next on Canuck Central.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there, Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.